Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer and Comforter, you have invited and urged us to seek you while you may be found. Lord, we come to you today to seek your grace and your mercy, and we ask you to come to us and bless us. Cause your word to take root in our hearts and our lives. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and have deserved only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen. O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have commanded us to pray and have promised to hear us. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may direct and govern our hearts in all things, that we may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for today is from Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 11. With these words, Paul encourages us to use Jesus as the example of humility and service. Jesus being humbled even to the point of not just becoming a human being like you and me, but a servant, giving up his life for us. Philippians 2 then says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, and any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Our second reading for today is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord, your word is truth." Jesus here tells a story about two sons, one first claiming he will do God's will and then not doing it, and one that said at first, "I won't do God's will," and did it. Who is the one who actually did God's will? Of course, it's the one who hears God's word and does it. What do you think Jesus asked, a man had two sons. He first went to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. He came to the second and said the same thing. The second son answered, I will go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, amen, or truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. However, the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your mind, literally repent and believe him. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Lord, Help Us Walk Your Servant Way. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who invites us to come to him in prayer at all times, for he cares for us, your fellow redeemed. When you think of a psalm for comfort, Likely Psalm 23 is the psalm that comes to mind. The Lord is my shepherd. But did you know there is a psalm, just two psalms past it, Psalm 25, that's also written by King David, a much longer psalm that also brings much comfort. Our sermon for today is from Psalm 25. It is a much longer psalm than Psalm 23. And it's a psalm that can be divided into four prayers. Two of the prayers have a very similar theme. So I encourage you to look at your bulletin or the printed copy of the sermon today, and you'll see there's some dividers, or just a space between each of the four sections, each of the four prayers in this sermon text. And if you have your bulletin with you, you can even fill in the sort of the titles or the themes of the different prayers from this this text from Psalm 25. I'll read then Psalm 25. We'll read the entire psalm to begin our sermon today. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me, and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. As we read through this psalm, perhaps you noticed just how many areas of the Christian life it covers. This psalm then would make a very good daily prayer, but especially in times of distress. In fact, I often use portions of this psalm in hospital visits or when people are recovering from illness. So let's take a look at the four prayers of this psalm and think of how the words of this psalm apply to your own life. And I pray that they will bring you strength and comfort from the Lord as we do so. The first prayer of this psalm is verses 1 through 3, and it is a prayer for protection. Notice how David expresses his complete confidence in the Lord's protection, even as he prays for it. He says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." What a beautiful description and picture of prayer David gives us in that very first verse, lifting up our soul to God. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." David did often lift up his soul to God in prayer because David, in his lifetime, had many enemies. He had nations who were at war with him and the people of Israel. There were many people in his lifetime who tried to kill him, including the king who was before him and one of his own sons, Absalom, who rebelled against him. And of course, the enemy that probably pops to mind for everyone first in regards to David is Goliath, the giant Goliath that he fought and killed with the Lord's help. The Lord, of course, gave David protection and victory throughout his life. Even when the odds seemed impossible, including that case with the battle with Goliath. David prays confidently, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed." Well, as we observe our life and we observe the world around us, you might question if those words of confident prayer of David in verse 3 are actually true. How do we know this is true and in fact always will be, that the one who waits on the Lord, that is, trusts in the Lord, how do we know they will not, in the end, be ashamed? Well, we know that for a fact, not just from the examples of the lives of King David, or even from looking back in our own lives, or looking at how God works things in the world around us or in history, but we know this for a fact because he's already given us the greatest victory by taking away sin, death, and even hell itself. He won that victory by sending his very own son, Jesus, to the cross and assured us of life eternal with him in heaven by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. That naturally leads us into the second prayer of this psalm. The second prayer is verses 4 through 11, and that is a prayer for forgiveness. So verses 4 through 11 are a prayer for forgiveness. David declares in verse 5 of that section, "For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." God is the God of our salvation. In his loving kindness, in his tender mercy, he has forgiven us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Notice the contrast David expresses between our sinfulness and God's goodness in some of the verses of this section, looking specifically at verses 5 through 7 and then verse 11. He says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember, on the other hand, the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." And then from verse 11, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Notice David expresses twice, "For your goodness' sake, for your name's sake, forgive me." He doesn't say, "Forgive me because I deserve it." David knew, just like we do not deserve God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But out of his love and his goodness, for his name's sake, for the sake of his son Jesus, we can come to God asking for his forgiveness and know that Jesus won it for us on that cross. This section not only contains some beautiful expressions and prayers for God's forgiveness, it also expresses a desire for God to teach us, to guide us, to lead us away from those paths of sin and instead to the paths of righteousness and truth. Verse 4 and 5 of our text in verses 8 through 10, David says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." In verses 8 through 10, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." As we come together and gather in the Lord's house each week, these are our prayers as well. Forgive us, Lord, according to your grace and your mercy. Teach us, guide us, lead us on the paths of your righteousness. Keep us from those destructive sins that ruin our lives and threaten our souls. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. That leads us into the third prayer of this psalm, which is found in verses 12 through 14, the shortest of the sections, a prayer for a godly life. You notice the expression, "Fear the Lord," is either written or referenced twice in these three short verses. It shows up repeatedly in the Bible, that expression, "fear of the Lord." It's kind of unfortunate that the word "fear" is the word that most English translations have chosen to translate the Hebrew word that is used there. It is a very deep and full word that means to revere the Lord, to honor the Lord, to trust in him. When we think of the word fear often in our English minds, we think of being afraid of. does not mean to be afraid of the Lord, even though we do have a healthy fear of His holiness and His power. It is a word that means honor, revere, respect, stand in awe of Him, and trust Him. That word cannot really be translated with just one word in English, but probably revere or stand in awe of is the best way to translate that expression. Notice what God promises to those who fear Him, who honor Him, respect Him, believe in Him. He says in these verses, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." So when we fear the Lord, when we honor Him, respect, revere, trust, and believe in Him, He will teach us. He will bless us. He will show us His covenant, His promises of life and salvation. After that short prayer, the third prayer, we are led back to a very similar theme to the first prayer of this psalm. And those prayers act as sort of bookends, beginning and closure to the psalm. This fourth prayer is a second prayer for protection from the Lord. But notice in this last section that David's pleas for protection deal with not only our physical protection, but most importantly, our spiritual protection. And looking specifically at verses 16 through 18 and verse 20 of this psalm, David pleads, "Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you." We know that we need our Savior's protecting hand of deliverance every day, especially in times of distress. But how much more grateful are we that He has, in fact, plucked our feet out of the net, the trap of our spiritual enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. We are so grateful for that deliverance and that protection because it's not just for this life. It's not just a one-time rescue or protection just in a temporary time. It is eternal. And as much as we human beings detest waiting, David reminds us a number of times in this psalm and throughout the psalms that we can wait for you, wait for the Lord, or wait on the Lord, because we know that in the end He will deliver us. In the end, He will redeem Israel out of all of their troubles. It's interesting to think of that last verse after what happened this weekend. When I originally started writing this sermon, I did not know the events that were going to happen in Israel this weekend, but we think of the nation of Israel going through severe troubles right now with the war and the attacks that were inflicted upon them in the Middle East and in their country right now. We pray to the Lord for their protection and to have Him end that conflict. In David's day, the Israelites were God's chosen people. In the Old Testament, they were His chosen people, the people He chose to bring the Savior into the world through that nation of people, and David was their king. In the New Testament, however, the Apostle Paul reminds us that true Israel, spiritual Israel, does not depend on our nationality or our race, but on faith. He says so in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. So believers are God's quote-unquote Israel in the New Testament. So when you read the last verse of this psalm, remember that David is talking about us. He's talking about you. He's talking about all believers when he says, "Redeem Israel, redeem your people, redeem all believers, O God, out of all their troubles." What troubles are you facing right now? What troubles did you bring with you into the worship service today? What physical, emotional, or spiritual distresses are afflicting you and your loved ones as we gather here in God's house? Do what King David did. Lift up your soul to the Lord. Wait on Him. Completely trust in Him. He will deliver you completely. If not in this life, we know he will completely deliver us from all of our troubles in the next. And he sealed that promise in blood, the blood of his own son, Jesus, which was shed on Calvary's cross. May these words of prayer and promise from Psalm 25 bless your life and comfort your heart and your soul this week, no matter what troubles or distresses you are facing. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of church. We'll continue our service today with our next hymn, Be Still My Soul. Please rise. We have several prayer requests to bring before our Father's throne today. And we begin with a prayer for the people of Israel and the people who are affected by the attacks on their country this weekend. We also pray for the Lord to bring peace and to turn their hearts to Him. We also pray for, in the back of your bulletin, you might see that Pastor Eichsted, Michael Eichsted from Milwaukee, our former president of our church body, has continued to have some health troubles and will be going in soon for a procedure. We pray for him and his recovery. We also give thanks to the Lord for Wayne's progress and his recovery and pray that the Lord would continue to give him good health and full recovery. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the God of peace and the ruler of all the nations. We pray, therefore, that you would bring an end to the attacks on the people of Israel and bring peace and stability back to that region. Restrain the evil of terrorist groups like Hamas and look with mercy on all the people affected and give Israel citizens protection, peace, and comfort, and bring this time of conflict to a rapid end. We pray, Lord, that you would turn the fearful, anxious hearts of those who are affected by this conflict to Jesus, and lead them to see him as the Messiah, the Son of God, and the Savior you sent to give us eternal life. Let them find in him, the Prince of Peace, true comfort, peace, and salvation. Remind all of us and all people everywhere that despite the wars and rumors of wars that we see in this region and around the world, you are still with us, that you rule over all things in heaven and on earth with your almighty power and according to your good and gracious will. Above all, dear Lord, we pray your will be done, knowing that you will truly do what is right and best for all who love you as you have promised. When you determine to restore peace, grant that what is just and right in your eyes will prevail. In Jesus' name we pray these things. We also pray to you, dear Lord Jesus, you are the great physician of body and soul. We place into your care our beloved brother, Pastor Michael Eichsted, trusting in your power and your grace to save. Give the necessary skills to the surgeon and bless his work. If it is your will, watch over him that no harm accidentally comes upon him. And through the wound the surgeon makes, grant him the blessing of your healing hand. Grant that his apprehensions and discomfort will soon be replaced with joy. In any anxious moments he may face, give him the calm assurance through the word of God, which says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." May this comfort also be shared by the members of his family and his loved ones who are praying for favorable results and restored health from this surgery. In all the trials he must yet face, may he always remember your redeeming love and the sacrifice on the cross you made for sinners and help him to take refuge there. Hear us, dear Heavenly Physician, as we give you thanks for Wayne's progress and recovery. We pray that you'd continue to be with him, remind him of your presence, and that you are working all things out for his good and that you're right there with him. If it is your will, Lord, give him full recovery and restoration to good health. Please continue to be with Terry as well. Give her the strength and compassion and comfort that she needs as she is ministering to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. Help us to lift up our souls to you in all things. We know that your prayers are acceptable only because your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And therefore, we, at Jesus' invitation, ask for the Holy Spirit. Cause him to dwell in us richly. May he not only increase our faith and teach us to pray, but also intercede for us with groanings which words cannot express. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Relieve those who are burdened. Cheer the sorrowful. Strengthen the weak. Recall the erring. Heal the sick. Release the suffering. And fulfill the needs of those who are in need. Replenish love when it grows cold. And rekindle the dying embers of faith. Father, we know that when we seek you, we shall find you, for you are near to all of us. How blessed we are that we can lay claim to your promises by faith and rest in the knowledge that you hear and answer our prayers. In your mercy, we ask you to hear us for Jesus' sake, as we pray now in his name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is My Faith Looks Up to Thee. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements for today and for this week. Following our service today, those who would like to take part in choir for this fall and the Christmas season, please meet up front. We'll have a short choir practice today at 11 o'clock. I'll be heading up to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m., for our Bible class hour, we'll be finishing the creation documentary, Is Genesis History, at 2 p.m. This week, Tuesday, I begin Bible instruction classes with Gary Fenton. He is one of our visitors who's from the area and has been coming to church with his daughter, Reagan. If you have not introduced yourselves to them over the last few weeks, please do so as you leave the service today. Our class will be held this Tuesday at 11:30. There's no confirmation class in the afternoon on Wednesday this week. It resumes again on the 25th of this month. Thursday, our Board of Ed meets via Zoom at 6 p.m., so please, those of you on the Board of Ed, remember that meeting to this week at 6 on Thursday. Next Sunday, there is no Bible class next Sunday because of the visits and worship service in Southern California, so our worship service here will be 10 a.m., Hayward will be 1 p.m., and I fly down to the Ontario area for worship and Bible study at 6:30 p.m. next Sunday. I believe those are all the announcements I have today. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Michael.
Today, October 8th, is Pastor Appreciation Day. On the calendar, yes. We appreciate you, Pastor. We appreciate
Thank you.
The message you bring each week. We appreciate the Lord leading you to take the call coming out here. We should say we appreciate you more often than once again.
Yeah.
I know I should. Anyhow, we do appreciate you, and I understand we have a little something to eat and drink out there, coffee and all that, after the in between now and the choir practice.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Well, thank you. Even if you feel like you haven't said it enough, I feel appreciated, and nothing shows appreciation from Lutherans like food, so thank you very much for that. I didn't know it was Pastor Appreciation Day. I knew October is a Pastor Appreciation Month, but it's actually a day. Well, that's great. Thank you. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.